This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
Attention veterans, did you know that Shasta College and Simpson University have veterans resource centers to assist you in your educational pursuits? These centers offer a wide range of support services, including financial aid, tutoring, IT support, and more. We understand the unique challenges that veterans face and are committed to helping you succeed. Our experienced staff is here to help you navigate the college experience and achieve your academic and career goals. Don't let anything stand in your way. This message is brought to you by Senator Maurice Johannesson, former Secretary of California Veterans Affairs.
Harry.com.
He still believes the American dream. His last breath, he'll always be a soldier.
Heard on great radio stations all across America. It's the National Defense.
Welcome to the National Defense, made possible by Ford, by the Home Depot, by T-Mobile, by Prevagen, and by the Wounded Warrior Project.
Welcome back to the National Defense. It's Randy Miller, and this is such an honor. I mean, you talk about queen of disco, queen of many things. The legendary Gloria Gaynor is with us. Gloria, how are you?
I'm great, thanks. How are you?
I'm doing great. It's so great to talk to you. I've been a fan for so long. And finally, a documentary about Gloria Gaynor's life is out this Saturday on Lifetime. I Will Survive, the documentary. And it's about time. I'll just say that. It's about time. I mean, I know that you're a pretty private person. But, man, I mean, Your music has influenced so many people through the years. When did they shoot this documentary? I know it was part of the Tribeca Film Fest.
Yeah, last year.
Last year.
Yeah.
And so whose idea was this? I mean, did somebody find that? Certainly over the years, people have to have come to you and say, we need to do a documentary about your life.
No.
No?
No, this is actually the first time. And it was Robin Roberts.
Wow. Wow. That's incredible. You know, everything from I Will Survive. You know, we've just been singing Gloria Gaynor songs around here all morning long. And, I mean, Never Can Say Goodbye. So many great ones. But, you know, so Clive Davis, just to take everybody back, Clive Davis signed you, what, 1970, 71?
71, yeah.
71. And so how old were you at the time?
20, let me do my math now. 22.
22, yeah. And I mean, to be swept into that world on that scale, that had to be pretty intimidating at first, huh?
Yeah, it was. But it was so wonderful. This was great, and I got a really good lesson from a high school teacher that stopped me from having stage fright. So
yeah,
it was wonderful. Yeah.
Well, not only is "I Will Survive" one of the top karaoke songs of all time. What a powerful anthem. And, you know, this was way before there were champions of women. And you were one of the original champions of women. I know that I'm on the board of an organization called New House, which is a domestic violence shelter, and that was the main anthem for that organization for quite a while. But did you realize at the time what that was going to turn into?
What I did realize was that it was a song that everyone, in fact, I said to the producers, everyone is going to relate to this song, because I've had surgery on my spine and I was relating to it, that I was in a back brace and wondering when if ever I was going to get out of it and be able to lead a normal life, wear normal clothes. And so I really believed that everyone would relate to that song, regardless what the trauma was they were going through, whatever they were, you know, dealing with, and hoping they'd survive.
Yeah, we're talking to the legendary Gloria Gaynor here on National Defense, the biopic coming up on Lifetime documentary, I Will Survive, this Saturday. And, you know, not only have you had just, I mean, this documentary talks about your long relationship, obviously very tumultuous marriage to your husband and manager that lasted quite a long time, right?
Yeah, it was 25 years.
25 years. So you get into that, you get into all different parts of your life. When you saw the documentary for the first time, how'd you feel about that?
I thought they did a good job. You know, you can't. It's difficult to tell a person's life
sure.
in an hour and a half. So, but they did a great job, you know, with what they had to work with and the time limits and all of that. So. Yeah, I was pleased with it.
Yeah, I cannot wait to see this. It's like I mentioned, Saturday, Gloria Gaynor, I Will Survive. And then you're also doing there's a kind of a follow-up project after this comes on with Robin Roberts, right?
Well, Robin Roberts did the biopic, and the documentary that comes afterward was done by Bessie Schechter, who is an executive producer on the biopic as well.
Gotcha. Yeah, this is going to be great. Well, Gloria, thank you so much for the time. Thank you for the great music through the years. And, hey, continued great success.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure.
We'll be right back here in the National Defense.
I was petrified.
Other automakers in Detroit, but there's only one that's built for Detroit. Ford, the motor company that remembers the Motor City who birthed it. The one restoring the old train station. The one that employs more hourly workers in the U.S. than any other automaker. The one that assembles more vehicles in the U.S. than any other manufacturer. The one that supplied PPE to frontline workers in Detroit and assembled ventilators and respirators when the U.S. needed them. The one with a football field in Detroit named after the century-old family-led business started right here in Detroit. Built for Detroit. Built for America. Built Ford proud.
Based on Center for Automotive Research data, based on IHS Market CYE 2019 U.S. light vehicle production data, assembled with U.S. and imported content.
Summer musical auditions are coming up at Shasta College. Come audition for our 2025 musical production of Guys and Dolls. Auditions will take place on March 10th, 2025 at 6 p.m. in the Shasta College Theater Building 500 and are open to students and the community of all ages. Ensemble members are still needed. Rehearsals will begin June 9th, 2025, and a detailed schedule will be provided to those cast. Contact Dr. Greg Thorson for more details.
Have you ever wanted to unlock your musical potential? Cascade Curations not only has great music, art, and fashion, we also offer fun and exciting music lessons for all ages and skill levels. Whether you dream of playing the piano, guitar, drums, or vocals, our instructors will guide you every step of the way. With flexible scheduling and personalized instruction, you'll be playing your own tunes in no time. Don't just listen to music, create it. Call or text us at 530-255-4855 to book your first lesson. Cascade Curations. Station, where we believe anyone can learn to play their own song.
Join Token's radio show every Tuesday night starting at 6 on 96.5 FM and AM 1460 as hosts Christy Matthews and Linda Kent explore the exciting world of cryptocurrency and blockchain technology. Learn how Bitcoin is revolutionizing finance and grasp sound money principles. Hear new perspectives on achieving financial freedom beyond broken institutions. The future of money is here. Empower yourself with knowledge. Listen to Token's radio show with Linda and Christy Tuesday nights at 6 on KCNR.
The Ramsey Show.
You actually can help people, and you don't help them by giving them a government program. You help them by showing them the way out. People love me enough to put their arm around me and show me a different way. I didn't figure it all out in my own head. So there's a power to hope. That's not some kind of false panacea positive thinking way. It works. You can't positive think your way into everything, but you can't negative think your way into anything.
Listen weekdays at noon on KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio station.
Welcome back to the National Defense. Comedian Whitney Cummings is with us. She's right in the middle of her big baby stand-up comedy tour, the North America leg. And it's got to be fun to have your baby boy with you. And you can't pack light for a deal like that, can you?
No. You pack a lot when you have a child with you. Ideally, the father of the child comes along as well. Sometimes I get lucky. Sometimes I don't. But yeah, I bring him to as many cities as I can. But other times I just stay home. It's usually way harder on me than it is on him. You know, when I tour. But it's pretty wild to travel all over the country. It used to be like, what bar are we going to go to after the show? And now I'm like, is there an aquarium we can go to before?
right.
You know.
Well, it's so funny. Our daughter lives in Los Angeles, and she just had a baby. It's her very first grandbaby, a little girl named Gloria. And so did you go through this with your parents where I didn't even know this was a thing, where they have to decide what the baby is going to call them? It's not just grandma and grandpa anymore. You actually got to pick out a customized, like, for example, we're a Nene and Pop-Pop.
That's really cute. Yeah, I had my grandma was Meemaw.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think what else we had. My grandfather was, you know, hardcore military. We called him GL. We were very official with him.
just initials.
Him even when I was a baby, I like saluted him when he walked. We just knew he was GL Gerald Cummings. Unfortunately, we don't have tons of grandparents around here, so you know, my son will just look at strangers and be like, Dada. I'm like, probably.
We don't really
could be.
Yeah, close enough.
Oh, Meg, I was, you know, with your CNN New Year's roast, and you've heard so much about that. I'm sure everybody's seen it now. But I was just watching your podcast, too, Good For You, where you're talking about now you go out and people walk up to you at grocery stores and they've got a conspiracy theory for you to investigate.
It is so insane. I'm literally just at the grocery store, and someone's like, hey, Whitney Cummings. I'm like, yeah. And they're like, you know, pandas are fake. I'm like, what?
Panda. I'd always suspected that.
No. Yeah, they're like, yeah, no, they spray paint polar bears. I'm like, imagine, okay, I'm open to anything. I am absolutely open to the idea that we have been lied to about pretty much anything. I grew up in a time where they told me that Native Americans and the Pilgrims had like a fun dinner and that they got along great. So I know we've been lied to about a lot of things, but are you telling me there's someone who is spray painting a polar bear and not getting his head bitten off? Like, I need to know. I need to go through the logistics of each one. Like, when people are like, you know, pigeons or drones, I'm like, okay. Maybe. Do you really think they picked the bird whose head bobs back and forth? It's not. If this is true, it's not a pigeon. It's a different bird. Like I have to really think it through, you know? So, it is pretty wild. I've learned a lot, but I appreciate it, you know?
Yeah.
Sometimes they're just like funny, but other times you're like, yeah, we should probably be asking way more questions about things that we just blindly haven't been accepting all these years.
Yeah. No, that's so good. We're talking to Whitney Cummings here on the National Defense, the Big Baby North America Tour. So your grandfather was in the military?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, well, that's our audience. It's active duty military veterans and their families, and nobody appreciates a good joke and a good stand-up like these folks. And I just get the sense, Whitney, and I know you're doing like 2,000-seat venues now as opposed to the larger, you know, the arenas and stuff, but I get the sense that stand-up, going to see a stand-up is having a huge resurgence right now. Do you feel it?
I think stand-up and, like, our ability to accept reality kind of go hand in hand.
Yeah.
And so I think the truth is having a resurgence. And when that happens...
Oh, no.
Always does really well. You know, I think that also, you know, look, there have always been dorks. There have always been people that are like, you shouldn't say that and you shouldn't do it. It's like, okay, like there have always been that. And I think that when people talk about cancel culture and people who are too sensitive, like that, we need that balance, you know,
yes.
Like we need that. And sometimes they're right. Like there's times where it's, you know what? Yeah. Comedy can evolve and get smarter and sharper, you know, but one person on Twitter shouldn't be like, you shouldn't make the audience will decide it. The audiences will decide when they don't think something's funny anymore. You know, we look at stand up from 30 years ago. You're not going to laugh out loud at a lot of the Bill Hicks stuff, but you're like, whoa, that's smart. Whereas back then they were laughing, you know, so we're the first people to go like, yeah, this is going to expire in a year. This is funny right now. It's going to suck in a year, but like, you know, the idea for comics is to always be a little bit ahead. And some people don't want to be a little ahead, like that's totally fine. Be a dork. Who cares? But I think that also comedy is for people that want to laugh and they want to escape their problems.
Yep.
And they just, you know, want to hear point of views that are different than them. It doesn't threaten their ego to hear a different point of view than them. They know what a comedian is, like a professional idiot clown who's just trying to make you laugh. So when someone takes that too seriously, honestly, either number one, they don't need the relief of comedy. Like, I'm so happy for you that your life is so good that you don't need to laugh. Like,
yeah, exactly. We're talking to Whitney Cummings here on the National Defense or Big Baby North America Tour. It's happening right now. And if you go to the website, you can find out exactly where she's going to be. Man, you are in a ton of cities. Where are you right now?
Right now, I'm in what is left of Los Angeles. About to go on tour all over the country, thankfully, to get a little break from this wildness.
Well, and I think the other thing about stand-up, too, or any kind of comedy right now, it's the one thing where everybody can laugh and agree. You know, I mean, that comedy cuts through any kind of dissension and, you know, you're that and I'm this and all that kind of stuff. And I just think it's a great kind of leveler for everybody.
Yeah, I think good comedy is, you know, for sure. And look, comedy might not be for everybody. You know, there's people that don't watch sports, and you're like, okay, what do you do on Sunday? It's just like look at yourself in the mirror. Like, you know, there's certain people that are just like, if you're not a comedy fan, like, don't weigh in, you know? It's like, you know, are you the same person that goes to a store and you're like, I don't like this shirt. Shut down the store. Like,
I wish I had that power.
Yeah, the world doesn't revolve around you. Like, I know that must be shocking. But, yeah, I think that honestly, if I may, like, I think this cancel culture stuff, I really appreciate it on some level because it helps you really find your people very quickly.
Right.
As, you know, like, people advertise whether you're, like, cool or not, you know? And when someone's, like, you know, wants to be, like, that comedian, like, if you really think that me making a joke in Pensacola changes policy in, like, Syria, like, your brain is broke. Your head is, you need to fix your head. Like, doctor, fix your head. Like, if you really think the joke I made on Twitter is going to make any kind of real impact, like, you're mentally ill. So we have to just, like, okay, bless your heart. These people are just revealing themselves. That way we can just stay away from them. And I think it's good. I'd rather that than, you know, I appreciate when someone reveals themselves off the bat, and this is an easy way to do it.
Yeah, and you do a lot of that on your podcast, which is so cool. You enjoyed doing the podcast?
Yeah, you know, I mean, look, live touring is what comics, this is what we get in it for, and then we end up doing TV shows and podcasts and all this other stuff. Like, I love being in front of an audience. I love a bunch of strangers coming in a room, and then by the end, we don't feel like strangers. We feel like we're all friends, and, like, you know, I love when people show up to go, like, I want to hear opinions that are different than mine. Like, I want to hear someone, you know, take risks and say some wild, you know, dangerous stuff. And, you know, that's what I love doing. But, you know, podcasting, you're kind of sitting in a room, like, saying stuff. You're like, is this any, I don't know. Am I just going to put this on YouTube? And, like, I guess I'll find out if I'm canceled tomorrow morning when I wake up. Like, you have no idea how it's going to land. So it's definitely, like, you know, a different skill, but I do appreciate doing it. I get to work out new bits. I get to kind of, try things out, like, before I end up trying them on stage kind of thing.
I think we can agree on one thing, that the world does revolve around Anderson Cooper. I think everybody can get behind that, right?
Look, I have to be honest with you. Like, they could have cut me off. They could have issued a statement saying, you know, agree with what Whitney said. Like, you know, I think even people within these establishment media things are probably, a lot of them are probably embarrassed and sick of it, you know? Like,
yes.
Do you know what I mean? It's like people that work at the zoo and they're like, I love animals, and why am I jamming a Xanax down this zebra's throat? Like, this is not what I signed up for. Like, you know, and I think that once you get in it and you're like, things become normalized. I've done it. Like, I've, you know, been in Los Angeles for a bunch of years, and you go, yeah, I guess I'm going to donate to this charity. That's the right thing to do. And then you go, wait a second, this is a scam. Wait, I thought I was doing something good, and I'm participating in a money laundering scam. So,
how did I get in the middle of the cartel? How did I do this?
Oh, yeah, wait a second. I thought I was helping some horrible... Wait, so there's no children? Wait, Sound of Freedom, I where do I donate? Oh, the guy's a creep? Wait, what? Like, I think that I don't think people go to establishment media being like, I want to go lie to the public. I think they go in thinking they're doing the right thing, and then all of a sudden they're like, wait, where's all this money coming from? Wait, why am I pushing pharma? This is weird. Like... My contract's not up for 5 years. Like, I don't know. It takes a really brave person to go, like, wait, I'm in the belly of the beast, and I'm going to call out the beast. Like, can you tell? So, or you've just gone, you get, look, very smart people get sucked into cults. And you're like, how is that what we're cults?
Right.
Because how would someone's brain think? Yeah, it's slow. It's a slow deterioration, you know? And so, there's times where I'm like, yeah, it's easier to just be full of, you know, crap and go along with it. It's a lot of work to constantly go against things. You know, I think it's because I have a military family that, you know, my grandfather, my dad, it was always question everything. Yeah. And my dad would me, you know, study, and then he'd be like, well, I mean, a history book, you take it with a grain of salt. I'm like, what do you mean? This is history. He's like,
right.
Like, he was always very, like, bad. I'm like, wait, so that's not true? And he's like, yeah, just, this is, we got to pass the test. So the answer is for now, but this is all one person's version of it. You know, and so he's like, even if these are true, there's a lot of omissions. There's a lot we don't. My dad was always like that.
That's
like,
great.
It would say organic on the apples. He'd go, who decides this? Who decides it?
That's,
who, like,
yeah.
Who just, you know, that's how he was. You know, when you are in the military, and, you know, that's how you think. So that's always how my brain was trained.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I grew up in the South, so we didn't have history books, but I know exactly. I've heard of those, and I know what you're talking about. Whitney Cummings and the Big Baby North America Tour. You are so fun, man. I love your stuff, and continued great success. And that's a baby that's going to get some education out there on the road.
We'll see. I cannot wait. Thank you for having me. What an honor.
We'll be right back here on the National Defense.
All right, crew, let's get her dug.
Honey, you want to give me a hand? I'm planting that tree, remember?
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. You must call 811 at least 2 to 3 business days before any digging project, so you can avoid hitting our essential buried utilities. This includes natural gas and petroleum pipelines, electric, communication cables, and water and sewer lines. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811. Brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
You're listening to KCNR 96.5 FM at 1460 AM, your talk radio. Online at KCNR1460.com.
Do you have something you'd like to get painted? Then bring it to Victory Powder Coating. Powder coating is a durable, colorful, environmentally friendly alternative to paint. It's useful in automotive, agricultural, decorative, and high-temperature applications. Victory Powder Coating has become the North State leader in powder coating applications and metal finishing. They specialize in large industrial items like truck beds, agricultural equipment, and trailers. They're dedicated to providing superior work and outstanding customer care. Consider Victory Powder Coating for your next project. Victory Powder Coating.
Looking for the freshest top-shelf flower? Look no further than the Queen of Dragons in the city of Shasta Lake, where they work directly with small, local farmers to bring you the finest flower that fits your price. The Queen of Dragons has the best prices on carts, edibles, concentrates, and pre-rolls. Plus, don't miss happy hour every day from 6 p.m. until close and all day Sundays. Don't just stock up on toilet paper. The Queen of Dragons has great deals, so you can stock up on the best flower for the best prices. So what are you waiting for? Stop by Queen of Dragons at 5044 Shasta Dam Boulevard or call 530-238-5638 for details or delivery. That's 530-238-5638. And don't forget to follow Queen of Dragons on Facebook and X at the Queen Dragons for all the latest deals and updates. Support Queen of Dragons, a local business in the city of Shasta Lake, where you'll find the most friendly and knowledgeable staff. Queen of Dragons at 5044 Shasta Dam Boulevard. Visit queenofdragons.com or follow us on X at the Queen Dragons.
The National Wild Turkey Federation 26th Annual Reading Chapter Hunting Heritage Banquet is Saturday, March 1st at the Senior Citizen Center at 2290 Benton Drive in Reading. Doors open at 4:30 p.m. and dinner will be served at 6:30. Tickets and sponsorship tables are available by calling 530-526-8350 or get your tickets online at nwtf.org/events.
Join me for the first Thursday of every month at 6 p.m. for my show, North State Now. In this one-hour show, we cover what's happening in the music scene, theater, food, and arts. We get in-depth interviews with local business owners, musicians, actors, and authors. Listen in, tune in, call in, participate. Win tickets to concerts and theater productions. It's a lot of fun, and believe me, it keeps us going. Join me, your host, Linda Bott, for North State Now, the first Thursday, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, also streaming at KCNR1460.com.
Welcome back to the National Defense. It's Randy Miller and straight from the Marvel Universe. I mean, you have seen her in so many things, Star Trek, Picard, Daredevil, Jessica Jones. Michelle Hurd is with us here on the National Defense, the new movie Somewhere in Montana, currently in theaters. Michelle, how are you?
I'm doing well, Randy. Thanks for having me.
Have you ever been to Montana before this this movie?
You know, I have. I'm little ski bunny, so I have skied in the beautiful mountains of Montana. We got to shoot this in Polson, Montana, which I'd never been to, over at Flathead Lake. Mm. And I have to say, I absolutely fell in love. It's just, so beautiful. The people are beautiful. The landscape is gorgeous. And the story, this film that we made, mirrors both of those things.
Yeah, and you're there's somebody else in this movie. He's one of our favorite guys. He's been on this show many times. Graham McTavish. is in this movie. How is it working with Graham?
Oh my God, he is the best. I mean, you've had him on, so you know he's wicked funny and an incredible actor, an incredible actor. I mean, his body of work is just breathtaking. And we had such an amazing time. And I hope everybody gets a chance to check this movie out, because he's not from Montana, but I tell you, he does such a great dialect.
he really does. I just watched the trailer and I was like, wow. Yeah. I mean, can this guy just do everything?
Right? He was just great. And I have to say this, and it often sort of tracks this way. We as a cast with this, Graham McTavish and Kaylee Macchio and Tasha Gates, Andrew Rowe, Jonathan Stoddard, Matt Dreco, everybody got along so well. And Brandon Smith writing and directing this film, you can see it on the screen. We just fell in love with the simplicity of this story. You know, it's really about love and loss and learning how to get along with your neighbor. And
I love that part of it. Well, so the storyline is pretty much Graham McTavish has this gigantic ranch, and his home has been selected, I guess, as a site for a movie production. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. That's exactly right. So you have these sort of Hollywood people. I'm a producer, and I bring in the writer-director to meet Graham McTavish at his gorgeous 500-acre ranch in the Montana Hills and offer him money to film at this his property. And he, of course, is in a situation where he has to consider taking the money for his own survival. These two different types of people sort of clash but have to figure out how to make it work. And and that's what it's all about, is to try to figure out how to make it work. And I really think it's incredibly timely. We shot it a couple of years ago, and it's I just saw that the screening at Palm Springs just last week, and it really just it hits home, and it stands. It really does.
Yeah, we're talking to Michelle Hurd here on the National Defense, the new movie Somewhere in Montana. That's gonna be odd. So you say you shot this a couple of years ago, and you've had projects since then, and you're currently you're working all the time to go back and revisit something from I can't remember what I did yesterday, and to go on tour and promote something that you did 2 years ago, you got to brush up a little bit, don't you?
Yeah, I got to say, I'm super excited that we had the screening last week.
Right, exactly.
It's shameless to say, but it is true. You sort of, but that's the beautiful thing, is that when we watched it, it was just as impactful, if not more so, to look back, to see it and go, oh, my God, just like art. It's just amazing how you can do something yesterday, 2 years ago, 10 years ago, whatever, and it can still have that impact today. And that's definitely true with this film.
So not just the Marvel Universe, but, you were in Anyone But You, Sydney Sweeney, yes. Glenn Powell. What a great movie that was.
And about a great people. That was amazing.
Yeah.
Was
amazing. I mean, you have worked with just about everybody, right?
I know. It's kind of crazy, right? That was like my first day with Patrick Stewart. I'm like, this is Sir Patrick Stewart.
He sounds just like Patrick Stewart.
Right, and I'm holding a phaser on him and telling him to bugger off. It was like, what is happening to me? It's going on.
And the other thing too, Michelle, you're in a lot of physical roles. Our audience is mainly active duty military veterans and their families.
Yes, and thank you all for your service. Thank you so much. My father actually fought in World War II at 18 years old. Yep.
That's amazing. Did he talk much about that?
Yeah, as quickly as I can, he actually was one of the liberators in Dachau, and my father was, I'm black and white, and my father was black, and he was part of a black battalion, and he talks about the day that he went through those gates, and that it was at the end of the, war, when the Nazis were trying to sort of destroy all the evidence, so they walked through the gates of Dachau, and it was silent, quiet, like you couldn't hear anything, and there was bonfires of bodies, and he said at one point, all of a sudden, you saw these hands come out of the woodwork. He said it felt like they just appeared out of the woodwork, arms stretched out, and all they said was, black angels, ooh. Because they knew that because this was a black town, they weren't the Nazis, they were not the enemies, they were the saviors. So
wow.
That's right?
Oh, wow. There's a book. There's a book. The cool thing about that too, Michelle, is, we have a lot of people on this show that have parents that were in World War II that never said anything about it. I mean, it was really tough to get them to talk about it. So that's so cool.
That was probably the only story he would tell us. He had scars, on his body, and he wouldn't speak of those things. And that was the only kind of saving grace of the experience because, it was a painful time.
We're talking to Michelle Hurd here on the National Defense, the movie Somewhere in Montana, which is in theaters now. And now the other part I was going to say is, obviously in the military, you have to rely on that training regimen to stay in shape.
Yeah.
And you've had so many physical roles. What do you do to stay in shape? You look great. You're in fantastic shape.
I think it, like all actors, we all kind of want to be like, oh, can I do a broad sword fight someday? It's the playland part of us. And,
right.
So I kind of, I like to keep myself ready, so I'm a very, healthy fitness kind of person. I, do weights, I do a bike, I swim, anything, I'm a martial artist. I started Goju and Kempojutsu. I always joke that it's like I'm old school karate, like now everybody's MMA.
Right.
You're like, pushed, punching wooden walls and stuff, but I love it. It's absolutely astounding. And like, I got to do some really fun fight scenes in Star Trek Picard, and it just made me, I was giddy every time I walked the set. Like, put a couple of swords in my hand and you'll see me big old smile.
Yeah, we're talking to Michelle Hurd here, the National Defense, the movie Somewhere in Montana. And so you've also worked with Cedric the Entertainer, which is one of our favorite guys. Jim Gaffigan. From everything that you've done, you talk about a wide array of different projects. And I guess that's what keeps it interesting for you, right?
Yeah, it really does. And, as a woman in this industry, you sort of sometimes don't get a lot of different choices. And very early on, I really wanted to stray from that. I was like, I don't want to just be the girlfriend or the wife or the concubine. I want to be the boss. I want to be the villain. I want to be the person who's not necessarily correct in the head. I want to be something else. I want to push the storyline and to the best of my ability, because I don't have the power as an actor. I always choose my parts. That's what I've always sought for, and it's been really enjoyable to sort of bring to life a lot of different characters. And my favorite part, of course, is just you naming other actors I've worked with, is getting the opportunity to work with great actors and better actors than yourself, so that you can raise the bar. And that's what I've been so grateful for.
Oh, that's so cool. We're talking to Michelle Hurd here, the National Defense, Somewhere in Montana is the movie. And this was shot, I guess, near Glacier Park also? Is Glacier Park?
We shot in Tolson, Montana, right there on Flathead Lake. And, I'd never been to Tolson, and Tolson is just so gorgeous. And the community there, the town itself, they all became part of our film. In fact, there's a moment when the film within the film has a premiere, and everybody in that movie theater is from Tolson, Montana. They just kind of came down and built it. Yeah, so super fun. If anybody has ever, if you haven't been to Tulsa, Montana, go. I say run, check it out, because it's there's something so heavenly and gorgeous looking at that lake and then the mountains behind it. It's it's magical.
Yeah, I've been to Montana one time on we live on a horse ranch, and my wife is a horse trainer, and so she thought it'd be fun for her 40th. Birthday to go up to Montana and go up the side of a mountain on horseback. I thought I was going to die. I thought I was going to. I mean, it was great. It was fantastic. But and you're right. The beauty of the place. I think it's only open 1 month a year. Just Montana in general. Because we went in August and they were making plans to shut things down already. So.
That's funny, because they said that to me, too. I was like, oh, my God, it's so beautiful. Look how gorgeous it is. Oh, I wish I could move down there. And they're like, just wait.
Right. Exactly. That's what exactly happened to us. We were like, oh, man, we're going to just let's just stay here.
Stay here, right?
Oh, that's so funny. But it is, what a backdrop for, especially for a movie like this. And there's a lot going on in this movie. I mean, it's not just your, Hollywood people versus a rancher. I mean, there's a lot happening here, right?
I know, right? And it's so timely. I thought it was, we had a premiere just last week, and I got to see it again, and I was like, it's about different, different cultures coming together and trying to find equal, common ground. It's about losing and, love and learning how to move on. It's about the fragility of life. It's, it touches your heart. There's an amazing couple of really amazing scenes in there, learning about, giving way ceremonies and that will just kind of hit you. And, and it just shows how, even though we can be different, we can think differently, we can come together and respect each other. And I love that we get to do that through art, It's the way that we reach out. I think it's sort of the common denominator that it doesn't matter where you're from, who you are, even what language you speak.
Yeah.
If you can all find some kind of art that can pull us together, it's an incredibly healing thing.
Just like in the military. You got to, it doesn't matter who's on your right or your left. You need them, and so those battle buddies can come from anywhere. So what a great story. Michelle, thank you so much. It's such a pleasure to talk to you.
Really lovely, Randy. Thank you so much for having me.
We'll be right back here in the National Defense.
Get ready to explore the expansive universe of aviation and cutting-edge space technology in Turtle Bay's newest exhibition, Mission Aerospace, presented by Dr. Eric and Tiffany Blassingame and produced by Minotaur Mazes, on display at Turtle Bay Museum January 18th through April 20th. This highly interactive maze puzzle is sure to inspire all generations. Mission Aerospace at Turtle Bay Museum is free for members and included with paid admission. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
Hi friends, RC here with Tobacco and Brew, bringing you this month's Cigar of the Humidor, Monte Cristo Classic Number 2. This Figueroa has been described as one of the world's great cigars, a silky Connecticut shade wrapper in combination with the best Dominican tobaccos form this perfectly constructed cigar. The smooth aroma of toasted almonds, vanilla, coffee, and spice round out this classic stick. Get yours today at Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
Hello there, this is Kevin Cry. Every other Sunday, I will be on KCNR, your talk radio, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. I will be discussing the issues that matter to you most. You'll be able to call in directly, ask questions, and have a dialogue, open and free, every other Sunday, right here on KCNR, your talk radio.
Red, where the executive producer, when they hired you out of like 1,100 other kids, told you that you were kind of big for the part, and you told the producer, "I promise you, sir, I won't grow anymore."
Yeah, that's true, and he laughed. I mean, he wasn't expecting that, he gave me a chance, and I did a screen test, and I screen tested with Adam West.
Wow.
And when I met Adam, the two of us started talking. Within 5 minutes, the two of us were laughing we ended up becoming incredible friends, which is really unusual for co-stars in a TV series.
Yeah, absolutely. And you and Adam, of course, attended all kind of conventions and signed millions of autographs through the years. And then you were honored and received Harvard University's Man of the Year Award. And I didn't know that this is a great story, but talk about the story of your costumes being stolen.
Well, I was voted. This is 1984 Man of the Year at Harvard University, and I went there and I spoke to a gigantic. I mean, I don't know how they filled the auditorium, and I had my costume with me. I wasn't going to wear it because if I wear the costume, you got to be in character, right?
Right.
So I wanted to talk about, but I had it hanging up, and during my talk. A couple of the guys from Harvard said they were with security detail and that there was a concern that my costume might be stolen. You know what I mean? And they said that they just wanted to, keep it backstage or whatever. And it turned out, okay, that it was some pranksters, okay, and they took my costume. Oh, now listen, believe it or not, this was so valuable. This is like a $500,000
yeah.
Relic. I mean, oh my gosh. But they did give it back and it certainly opened up my eyes quite a bit.
Well, and the other interesting part, the ringleader of this gang was the Harvard Lampoon editor Conan O'Brien.
That's right. That's right. Oh, I know.
Oh,
and I was on his show, I believe in 1996. And we both had a good laugh over that. Now, he is a kind of a wild and crazy guy, a really nice man,
That's so
but what a character he is.
That's so
fun. But it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, we're talking to Burt Ward here, of course, Robin, the boy wonder from Batman and Robin. And, man, you have just had – now, you all – where you live in California, I think it's called Norco. Is that right? You still live in Norco?
Yes, it's like the last western town in America where horses have the right-of-way over cars.
I love that.
And it's a special community where you're allowed to have animals. I mean, this is like there people have camels and emus and all kinds of exotic animals, and we have a special permit to have up to 55 dogs, and we always have about 45 to 50 because we operate the world's largest giant breed dog rescue.
Yeah.
And for the last 31 years, my wife and I have rescued more than 15,500 dogs.
Wow.
More than 350. We found every single one a safe, loving home. But as you know, pets don't live very long, especially in relation to a human. And, when you lose a dog or a cat, it can be devastating. I mean, especially for people in the military as well,
Yep.
And so what we've done is we've devoted our lives, my wife and I, to find a way to help them live longer. We created a special food called Gentle Giants non-GMO ingredients pet food for dog, and one for dogs, one for cats. And we've got our dogs and cats living into their 20s, consistently.
Wow.
Living into their 20s. One of our customers has a dog that last month on January 3rd turned 31 years old.
Oh, my God.
You cannot do that with regular dog food.
Wow.
Our food is different from every other food in the world. We don't take any salary from this. This is all about loving animals. It's our charity. It will always be our charity. And for those of your listeners, whether they're come back, when they come back to the States or maybe overseas, I don't know if, we're in Petco stores. It's a pet chain of pet stores. We're in like 1500 stores across America, but they can get the Gentle Giants dog food and online they can get the dogs. Gentle Giants dog food and Gentle Giants cat food with free home delivery. But the key thing is we want everybody's pet to have a chance to live longer. And I'll tell you something. It's not just wonderful for the pet, but think about for the pet parent who has that dog or cat an extra 5 or 10 years longer. And in terms of health, because our food is all natural, no chemicals, no byproducts, because it's so healthy, our animals here at our rescue are so healthy, they only go to a veterinarian every 3 years for a rabies update. We don't have illness here.
Wow.
And For any of the pet parents out there, let me tell you something. The cost of veterinary care is almost as expensive as human care.
Oh, my
gosh. It's incredibly expensive. You want to keep your pet healthy. Plus, you don't want to see your dog or cat suffering from an illness. So this is our charity. It's our life's work. And we're thrilled to be able to do this, you know. And we are a sponsor of the Super Bowl promotion. We started last month, January, all the way up to the game. And also this year, we're going to be a sponsor of Major League Baseball, basketball, the NFL, National Football League. So we're doing this. We want to reach out to people. We want everybody's pet to have a chance to live as long and healthy as ours are living.
Well, God bless you for what you guys are doing. I mean, it's just so fantastic. As a pet parent all my life, and we have horses, and they don't stay inside the house with us like yours do, but it's so important to get that proper nutrition. And we lost one of our best guys last year, and you're right. I mean, he was 16. Which is a nice long life, but I can't imagine, especially because you started out with Great Danes, Bert, and larger animals usually don't live as long, right?
Great Danes live 7 to 9 years, and Mastiffs and Irish Wolfhounds live 6 to 8 years. We have a bunch of them here, and the youngest dog we have here right now is 14 and a half years
old. Oh, my gosh.
Every one of those has already lived twice their normal lifespan. Now, the oldest Great Dane we've ever had, we've had one at 21 and one at 22, but most of them are in the 18, 19-year range. And then our other dogs, I mean, one of our Russian wolfhound, her name was Tara, Russian wolfhound, again, like a Great Dane, only lived 7 to 9 years. She was dropped off to us by some people that they said she was about to die. She was 11 years old, and they said, we don't want her to die at our house. Better she should die at your house, which, you know, I don't care for that too much.
Right,
but
right.
We took her in, we put her on our food. And at 25 years of age,
wow.
Inside Edition, the television show, came out and filmed a segment about her, and it was entitled, Could This Be the Oldest Living Pooch in the World?
Wow.
And she lived from 25 to 27 and 10 months. Okay, that was 4 times her normal lifespan. But again, you have to feed them with good, healthy food. And so sadly, the pet foods have so much grease and stuff on the outside of it, on the kibbles and stuff, clogs their arteries, clogs their intestines. We don't do that because we're not trying to make money with it. We're trying to help the dogs live longer. And same with cats. And 2 cats we had, our last 2 cats, one lived to 31 and the other lived to 32. Again, you can't do that with regular food. You've got to have super nutritious, clean and natural, no byproducts, no insecticides, no GMOs, genetically modified organisms, all of this stuff. And it, you know, it's quite a job to just to even locate ingredients like that because
yeah.
They're so rare. Less than 2% of supply in our country is non-GMO. And we buy from that 2%.
I just read the ingredients from your canned food to my wife, who is super, super diligent about what we feed our dogs. And she was so impressed. She's like, where can we get this? And I'm sure it's available at Chewy. We owe our lives to Chewy. Our mortgage is with Chewy.
Right, but
yeah. And I'm sure it's with Chewy.
Petco.com, you can go into the store and get it. But let me just give you an example about canned food. If you look at any other canned food, you're going to see in the ingredients what we call the gums, xanthium gum, guar gum, cassia gum, or carrageenan, all of which have controversial cancer-causing connotations. Okay, we don't have any of that. We use agar-agar, which is a prebiotic. In other words, every single – and in our canned food, by the way, every ingredient is fresh, put into the can fresh and cooked in the can. So when you're opening that up, it's freshly cooked. And people tell me when they open up our 90% chicken, they say, a lot of people say it smells like Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Bert Ward is still a superhero. Gentle Giants. Bert, thank you so much. Great to talk to you again, man. And thank you for what you're doing for all of our animals.
Well, thank you, citizen. And as we said on Batman, to the Batmobile!
We'll be right back here on the National Defense.
All right, crew, let's get her dug.
Honey, you want to give me a hand? I'm planting that tree, remember?
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. You must call 811 at least 2 to 3 business days before any digging project, so you can avoid hitting our essential buried utilities. This includes natural gas and petroleum pipelines, electric, communication cables, and water and sewer lines. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811. Brought to you by Common Ground.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.